heard me call.
You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And welcome to A Biblical Response on this beautiful second day of February. Beautiful and third. Cool. Third. No, is it the third? Third. Of course
February
it is.
February 3rd. Correct.
Yesterday was Groundhog Day.
I'm stuck in the past. Well, yeah, every day is big around here for me anyway. So
Punxsutawney Phil said six more weeks of winter.
Did he?
Yeah. Yes. The ground. Yeah. The ground.
What a smart rodent. You know, really? Meteorological studies at some great university we don't know about.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome. We do have fun here. We try to have fun anyway, even though some of the topics can be pretty gnarly, and certainly today might be no different.
Yeah.
But first, one of the great joys I have in life is introducing co-hosts, and I get to do that today. And I'm going to start, first of all, the co-host who's not able to be with us today is Stephanie Jacobson. She's still out traveling for the Lord, doing her ministry out there, influencing folks at various levels of government and other people, and we thank just bless her, Lord, and her ministry, and keep her safe.
Miss you, Stephanie, if you're listening.
Yes, yes, we do miss you. I think you'll be back with us next week, God willing.
We're waving high.
So there'll be an extra.
Yeah, we're waving high.
We're waving high. There'll be an extra special donut for you, direct hot from Delray Beach when you come in, and plenty of good coffee. And then Keith Masters' brother. It's always good to see you.
Good to see you. Good to be here.
You know, when you first came to us, what, three and a half years ago, was it?
I'm not sure.
Something like that. You know, when Jonathan mentioned.
Right during COVID.
Well, yeah. And see, what a blessing that you came in right at that point. And you had a ministry, and you had a program, and you wrote several. We still have bunches of them in the archives.
Right.
You have something running on the air. It was the three minute
segments.
Segments.
Yeah. Messages that the Holy Spirit puts
deep
on
in
my
the
heart.
Word stuff, deep in the word, but it's also relevant to what's going on today.
Yeah.
Which is why you fit so well into this program.
We love Keith.
We demand you're a great brother, and I thank you for being here.
We love Keith.
God is good.
Super. And then the other co-host, last and certainly not least, Anne.
Good morning, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be here today. This is the day, and I know I say this every time, but it's my tagline because the Lord gave it to me. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Let's be glad as well because the temperatures are coming up.
They are. Yeah, so, it was like 39 at my place
this morning. I don't have my winter coat today. I just have my winter vest.
I've been growing a winter coat, which, you know, but at any rate, my
no
dog is inspiring me to do that. Anyway. Well, we're going to get started. I'm going to throw this back to Anne to get us rolling with what we're talking about today.
Well, I just wanted to talk about something that happened over the weekend, if our listeners have not read about this yet. And it's a big development and one that I believe will cause us, hopefully, that's our prayer, to wake up as Christian conservatives. So over the weekend, there was a special election, and this was in the Fort Worth area of Texas. So this is big city area of Texas. A Democrat flipped a reliably Republican state Senate district seat. So let me repeat that again. A Democrat flipped a reliably Republican state Senate district seat. The name of the Republican that ran, the conservative activist, is Lee Wamgans, and she lost by 14 points to Taylor Rimet, who was a union leader. But that doesn't tell the full story, okay? The Democrat defeated a Trump-backed candidate in a district the president won by 17 points in 2024. Mm. So This is surprising. This is horrifying. Yeah. The lieutenant governor of Texas, who was Dan Patrick, said losing this election was a wake-up call.
Yeah.
So though the win is just short-lived, because Remet, he's a first-time candidate, and what he's doing is actually he's serving out the roughly 11 months remaining in the term that Republican Kelly Hancock had. She vacated to become Texas's acting comptroller. This outcome serves as a warning for all of us, yes, in my opinion. I know that we've felt that warning for months now, but we want our listeners, hopefully, to also feel that warning and that wake-up call. Because Democrats are more emboldened than ever, and they're angling for other red-leaning seats across Texas, but also across the United States. And we have a huge election coming up. The primary is in August. Mm-hmm. The general is in November. So, and it was interesting because the voter turnout for this election was down significantly from the 2022 race. Mm. We're looking from 277,000 to 94,000.
That's a huge difference.
Huge difference. And
wow,
many factors could play into why people did not show up. I'm thinking maybe the cold weather. You know, Texas has been dealing with weather they're probably not used to. And regularly voter turnout for a special election is low. Or maybe people were just jaded. But in my opinion, whatever the reason is, there is no excuse to not go to the polls. When we don't go to the polls, things like this happen. And in order to make our votes truly count, we need election integrity. And that's been a hot topic ever since the presidential 2020 race.
Oh, yeah.
And election integrity, I would define it as an election conducted in a fair, transparent, secure, and legitimate manner so that the outcome truly reflects the will of the people.
Amen.
If an election is fraudulent, deceptive, of course, we don't get a right outcome. So in today's show, we're going to be talking about election integrity, and we're going to start off with a bill that's at the forefront, and it's called the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, and in short, SAVE Act. So that's the acronym for it. That deals with election integrity. And I'm going to punt it to our wonderful producer, David, and journalist, who's going to give us a 101 on the bill. And this is a bill that we, as Christian conservatives, really need to be following and pray that it passes. So go ahead,
Amen.
David.
Yeah, so this is just bullet pointy kind of approach because we have so much to talk about. But so you idea what's in the bill? And I'm going to talk about its status, too. Which y'all need to pray about. But
yes,
the original bill was passed. Actually, the original bill, this current, which is called the Save America Act, that's the current name of the bill that is in limbo, if you will. But the original bill was the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act. And that was originally introduced by in the House by Representative Chip Roy.
Yep.
And then in the Senate by Senator Mike Lee. And the original bill passed the House in a bipartisan manner. I mean, it was, there was obviously some people not voting, but it passed with a nice majority. The key provisions of this bill, even though the name changed, the provisions really haven't changed. But first of all, voter ID. It adds a new requirement to present a photo ID before casting a ballot in federal elections. Proof of citizenship.
Yes.
Mandates that individuals provide documentary proof of U.S. citizenship, either with a passport, birth certificate, driver's license, that kind of thing, in person when registering to vote. Also, the law would involve voter roll maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Requires the states to remove non-citizens from existing voter rolls. And that, of course, goes along with their other already existing requirements to remove dead people.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I know when I was in Chicago in seminary, you know, dead could vote up there. I was thinking, you know, I retire.
We're laughing, but it's actually a serious issue.
We're laughing, but it's actually a serious issue.
Mm-hmm.
So voter roll maintenance is basically clearing the decks of anything that is inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Penalties would establish criminal penalties for election officials who register individuals without proof of citizenship, and it creates a private right of action allowing citizens to sue for noncompliance, to sue the government, whatever government is managing the voting process for noncompliance. So I like that back and forth. Now, currently, the bill is stalled in the Senate.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, the original bill was passed nearly 300 days ago.
April of last year, April 2025, I believe, right?
Let's see.
If I'm looking right. But yeah, that seems about right with the number of days.
It was passed. The bill was introduced in the House on the 3rd of January of 2025.
Yeah, and passed.
Was passed April 10th of that year,
yep.
2025. Then it was sent to the Senate. Now it's languished in the Senate.
Yeah.
And by the way, this information I'm reading to you now from comes from online from the Republican Study Committee's website.
Okay.
Which you can go on and check yourself if you want. This is an article that was posted just yesterday. So the Republican Study Committee's Representative Brandon Gill is leading the House Republicans in an effort to force the issue.
Yeah.
Directly calling on Senate Rules Committee Chairman Mitch McConnell, who they'll have to awaken, I suppose. to schedule an immediate markup in the Rules and Administration Committee.
Mm-hmm.
The letter highlights how the legislation passed the House with bipartisan support and enjoys nearly unanimous backing from the Senate Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's a no-brainer. Let's move this forward. Let's get it on the floor and vote it. And so the letter is to Senator McConnell and calls on him to immediately schedule a markup, which part of that's budgeting.
Yep.
What's this going to cost, you know? So that they can get that all that information in so the committee can process this bill and get it on the floor.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where this is right now. It's a great bill from our view, but it needs to get legs.
It's so sad that we need a bill to codify, you know, just showing an ID, yeah, or being a citizen, because we know that our voter system has been taken advantage of from people who vote who shouldn't be voting.
Amen.
Or vote several times or... Yeah. So, but I want to introduce our guest
today.
She's coming to us via the phone from Boca Raton, and her name is Debbie Ferris. And I will just go over a quick, beautiful introduction of her biography. And I'm honored to introduce my friend Debbie Ferris. And I met Debbie in 2024 as we both were active and working to defeat Amendment 4 right here in Florida.
Amen.
Which, if passed, would have made abortion legal up to birth in this state. And thank God it did not pass. And Debbie was instrumental in that. She served as the Florida Regional Field Office Director from Liberty Counsel Action and was very involved in that fight. And like I said, praise God that Amendment 4 was defeated. And Debbie will be speaking with us today over the phone about election integrity and the importance of getting civically involved. She brings a special perspective as she was born in Panama, raised in Venezuela, educated in Mexico, and is now a naturalized American citizen. Known to readers as Praying Mantis, Debbie is an election integrity advocate and Substack writer with a global perspective shaped by life in those three countries, and she brings firsthand insight into how socialist systems and election subversion take root and how they can be challenged. So Debbie played a direct role in crafting Florida's landmark election integrity law, which was SB 524, and continues to lead grassroots accountability efforts nationwide. Her work is read in all 50 states and 57 countries, and she's also the author of Beyond the Brink Point, a faith-based story of loss, resilience, and restoration. So, Debbie, we want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us today.
It is my pleasure. So nice to be on your program.
Yeah, thank you for being on. Before we have you address the election integrity issue and your work in that area, can you tell us how you got involved politically? Because your background is non-political. I know that you're an industrial engineer with an MBA in international marketing, but what drew you into politics?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, I've traveled and lived in many countries, and when you're from the third world, you truly believe that everything in the U.S. actually works and works as it should be. Mm. So that was my perspective, and then, much to my horror, as 2020, those elections occurred, I started to realize that those elections were stolen, and mm-hmm. it was just simply unbelievable. To give a little context to that, I was widowed At that point, it had been a decade. I was raising my sons. I was infinitely grateful to the United States, this is where I was living now, mm-hmm. that a country like this gave a woman in my circumstances the opportunity to advance my children. Yeah. So this is, you know, I was very grateful. And then knowing what had happened in Venezuela, my ties over there, over, you know, our family moved there in the 1970s. So I knew historically what was happening in Venezuela. I knew those elections had stolen for many cycles. And then to see it happen in the United States just pretty much blew my mind.
Yeah.
In addition to that, I was at January 6th. I went up to peacefully pray, and I know what I saw there, and I could see that what the media was telling me was very different. So all of those factors combined, a group of us just coalesced, and we began trying to address what had happened in that election at a federal level. And that's how that was the beginning of how I got involved. That's... And one step led to another. And I call it was a 4-year degree in political sciences that I never wanted. But that's what happened.
Wow, that's powerful, because you experienced when you were in Venezuela how elections were stolen, and to see it in this great country of ours basically activated you. So I know you've done a lot of work in election integrity, Debbie. Do you want to just go more into what specifically you did as pertains to election integrity?
Yes. So, and this is where I want to encourage your listeners that someone that doesn't have any background can be used by the Lord.
Amen.
To advance, to do something. So what had happened in Florida is a group came together. It is called Defend Florida. And what we started to do was to canvass, to basically see if the Florida residents, even though Florida had delivered for the Republicans in 2020, we wanted to see if the anomalies that we were seeing in other states, such as ghost voters, people that weren't on the voter roll, people that did not exist, people that had died, if those anomalies existed in Florida. So we started canvassing, knocking on doors, and lo and behold, we realized that that was happening in our state. Mm. For example, you had a marina that had 20 slips, and yet 80 people were registered.
Wow.
Or had addresses there. You know, mailboxes with addresses. So that led us then to the next step, which was to demand a cleanup of the voter rolls. But what few people understand is that, and this is where it ties into the SAVE Act, there are laws that govern federal elections, and then there are laws that govern state elections. And in a state election, every county has its own way of doing things. So there is no real standardization between, you know, Palm Beach and St. Lucie.
Yeah.
A lot of elements that are similar because they're following the law, but your day-to-day running of the operations is different. So that led us to the next level, which, okay, we've got to demand voter roll cleanup, but it's not quite codified in the law, so we have to change the law. And that's what began our advocacy for election integrity bill. I got involved because I am a writer. And at that point, you need what's called a one-pager. A one-pager is an executive summary of what the law intends, how it's going to affect, and what problems and solutions it's going to offer. What problems it's going to fix and what solutions it's going to offer. So I did what's called the one-pagers. And that's how I got involved with the writing. Much to my astonishment, at one point or another, when I was in Palm Beach, it's very hard to get to Tallahassee because we're about 9 hours away on a good day. Mm-hmm. So there was a team in Tallahassee, and we were working all over the state. I was supposedly just to redline the bill, and by redlining, it was to show where the inconsistencies were.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up really changing the language, never ever having seen a bill in my life. An accountant, a lady that's an accountant, her name is Dee Lavandera, and myself, we redlined and reinserted language in that bill, and it looked like a like an English teacher had really gone over. But that caught the, this is where I think God works in very mysterious ways. That work got the attention of one of the representatives. He's in this area. His name is Rick Ross. And he, when he saw the work that we had put into it, he then started knocking on doors and, you know, with his fellow legislator, and was instrumental in advancing that bill. And that's how we got our first, and actually our first and only win in terms of election integrity in Florida.
So are the, go ahead. Are the laws in Florida much more strict than in the United States? Because I know that every state is different according to, you know, the state's own laws. So
every state is different. And Florida, if you remember 2001, Florida became the laughingstock of the nation with the hanging chad during versus Gore election. So Florida shored up its elections since then, and was considered and is still thought to have the gold standard for elections. Much to our astonishment and surprise, when we went into the actual statutes, Defend Florida has a team that did all of this analysis, we realized that there were many loopholes that existed, and this is why our electoral processes as a state still have to undergo significant adjustments, so that we have chain of custody, we have updates in technology, we have voter roll clean out mandated, and we also have, you know, our own SAFE Act here in Florida, because here in Florida, this is the one that's most near and dear to me since I'm a naturalized citizen. Here in Florida, there are loopholes, or just let's call it openings, where non-citizens could be registered to vote. And this is why we had pressed for citizenship verification. The statutes in Florida indicate that only U.S. citizens should vote, but there's no real, in some cases, not all, but in some cases, there is not that checking of the passport or your birth certificate or any other documents that prove that you are a citizen.
Wow, I didn't know that. So what are your thoughts on the Save America Act? That will just strengthen what we have in Florida. Are you, do you agree completely with that bill? Do you think there's loopholes? There's things that need to be added? As an expert, I would love to hear your opinion on that bill.
No, I think the Save America Act is excellent. I think it's a very, very big leap forward. It's unfortunate that we actually have to codify this, but it is.
Yeah.
I think for the listeners, what you need to, what we all need to do is we need to hold our senators accountable.
Yeah.
Now here in Florida, we've got Ashley Moody and Rick Scott, so we have no problem. But if you have relatives in other states,
yes,
call them and tell them, call your senator to pressure the senators to become co-sponsors on this bill. The one thing that this does is that it affects federal elections, and that would be your vote for Congress and Senate and presidential, but that does not trickle down to local elections. And right now we have special elections coming up in March for municipalities, county commissioners, et cetera. And then we have primaries, and then we'll have our, you know, governor race. The SAVE Act would not cover, I guess, the governor race, because there's an election for Congress that would cover it, but it wouldn't, it would not cover your municipalities. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a big concern.
Okay. Thank God we live in Florida, though, where we're much better than other states, but we still have to be concerned if it doesn't trickle down to what you say is the local level. Right, Debbie?
Right. No, and in Florida, I can tell you, look, this is the issue. You know, we had an unrestrained immigration policy for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
You have a lot of migrants that, let alone don't speak the language, many are illiterate. So when they're being processed, if you are not, it's very easy for them to check a box that says, I am a U.S. citizen. No one is checking that. There are a lot of bad actors that could actually check that box for them, and how would they know what they're checking? And at that point, they become registered in some database, and after that, it can be very easy to register them to vote.
So what you're saying happens is somebody can just say they're a citizen or whoever is doing the application, but they don't have to present the proof of citizenship.
Correct.
That's dangerous. Mm-hmm. So dangerous.
Well, it's Florida, and Florida is a destination. Florida is a destination for a lot of nefarious actors. Our state is poised to be, I call it, the capital of West as things are going. And so we have to be very vigilant in Florida. We have to be, I would encourage your listeners to be vigilant about your current county commission and city commission elections, because this is one way where just groups can come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to say the way it is. You have an agenda by very radical Muslims. And I'm going to say,
yes,
I have Muslims friends and they are lovely, but I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about a radical agenda that comes in, buys out a hub, puts a mosque in, it becomes the center of the community. You've got families that move in and they vote, and they're all doing this properly. Vote, and that's how you take over a municipality and eventually a city.
Yes.
You get your people that adhere to your ideologies on the city commission, and it's going to be very hard to get to reverse that trend once installed.
Yeah.
And that's where we as American citizens and Republicans, I would imagine, or at least conservatives, need to be more engaged in our local elections.
Yeah, but
say at this point, let's go ahead if we can and take a break, and then if we can just pick up on this thread when we come back.
Yeah,
okay,
no problem.
Debbie. Great, thank you.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
And we're back. You know, I hate to break in there, but people need a break to reset their brains or whatever's going on and other things. So we are back into the second half, of a biblical response. And I'm just going to I think we're going to go to Keith, who has a question.
Yeah. Hi, Debbie. How are you? So,
hi, Keith.
Hi. So you briefly touched on a point that we've been discussing for the past few weeks on this program about how the Muslims are moving in into the ballot box, and how that is, they're starting to set roots in the ballot boxes,
yeah,
to change the laws and to expand on that, because I'm not sure that all of our listeners really understand,
yeah,
what's taking place, and the seat that was just lost in Texas to a Democrat within the state,
yeah,
who it changes the
makeup and
the landscape right within that state to affect the laws that go in the state of Texas within the state of Texas.
Yeah, because we know that there's a lot of Muslims. You know, the population is growing in Texas.
So right. And they just got turned down to build a mosque over there.
Yeah.
Which is what they were trying to do. They wanted to buy an 800 square foot piece of property and set up a Muslim
mosque.
Well, that would be a country. 800 acres.
Acres.
800
oh, wow.
acres.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So Governor Abbott was voted against that because it goes under Islam, which is.
Sharia law,
which is what they wanted to start putting into this country. So if you could just expand on really how this affects and what is going on so that our listeners, Debbie, can, I mean, to try and generate what is going on and how this is, they are turning, trying to turn the culture of America into their culture. And I think that, you know, the Christians, my thing is that the Christians who are Democrats are assisting whether they're understanding that they're doing that or not.
Yeah.
So let me just, I'm not an expert in how they do it, but what I have understood or learned so far is that there are three tenets, the pen, the heart, and the sword in Islam in terms of, let's just say, imparting this particular culture throughout the world. The sword is very obvious. It's, you know, the what do they call it? You know, it's the bloody revolutions and all of that.
Yeah.
The pen and the heart. Let's address those. The pen is the law. And the heart is through the family. So to their credit, their cultures are very cohesive as far as a culture goes. So what happens? When they get a foothold in a particular community, be that a mosque or be that, say, they purchase a mall or a small mall, you raise the rent, you start getting your original tenants out, you start bringing in your tenants, and now you have a cultural hub around where a community can coalesce. 10, 15 years from there, now you have families that are established. And then you eventually have a voting block. You get 15% of that. That's all you need. And then you start changing city commissioners. And then you can change laws.
Yeah.
So that is how it starts spreading. And it's all done legally. It's all within the framework of our laws. They have been they have studied our laws and know how to work within the system. So this is where we, the conservatives, need to be not only participatory, we have to be vigilant and participatory in our governance.
Yeah.
And how can an ordinary citizen be participatory? You need to be aware of what's going on. You need to show up to vote. You need to support candidates that are thinking of running. It's not easy to run for any elected office right now. So, you know, showing up to vote is the minimum. What we should all be doing, and that's where I have kind of diverted my advocacy efforts, is in electing good local candidates for my city. I'm right now involved in the mayoral race and the commissioners, because that's how we protect our local turfs. And it all starts local. That's what the forefathers had in mind. And that's where we, the American citizens, need to get participatory, know who your elected officials are, and get involved in their campaigns and turn out the vote. Unfortunately, the GOP, and as you saw in Texas and many other places around the country, the GOP is not very good at turning out the base to vote.
Yep.
And that's what we're seeing.
You know,
this past election where we won, it was because Trump had the name ID and the branding and everything, and everybody got involved. Now Republicans are, everything is fine. We're back to our complacency.
Right.
And that's not the case.
Right. And, you know, I didn't even I didn't even realize or think that about buying malls and then they raise the rent. I mean, that is just, that is the iron horse right there in front of us, and we're not paying attention to it.
You know what's also happening is they are buying churches.
And
they're buying churches that have closed down. I don't know why the church is selling to, you know, but they are buying churches. There is a news program I want to tell our listeners about. It's called Flashpoint. Flashpoint is one word. And basically, if you this program is on from 8 p.m. till 9 p.m. on YouTube. So you could just Google, you could put on YouTube the search bar Flashpoint. And basically, it's a program that intersects faith and the news. And it's kind of a melting pot where you can dive into the news about pressing political issues, and they have Christian politicians, pastors, and influences on there, and they talk about what the mainstream media won't talk about. And I was watching it yesterday. I watch it Monday through Friday, 8 to 9. That it's one of it's I love to watch it. And if you can't watch it live, it's on YouTube. You could go back. But they showed videos of Muslims buying churches and taking over. So this is something. Did you know that, Debbie, that they're also buying churches? And it's becoming more common. I think there's already been a handful of churches that have been bought in Florida. So,
yeah. And so that's where Floridians need to be very vigilant, because that's how it starts.
Yeah. We have to. That's why when you said we need to stay informed, we need to be vigilant about what's happening. We need to not just go to the mainstream media. Citizen journalism is very key. Deb, really quickly, because I know we're going to get into some scripture here shortly, talk about your Substack, Praying Mantis, because you have rounded up people who are praying for this country. Can you talk about that really quickly?
Yes, quickly. So it all started on Facebook. I, as a just an ordinary mom, I put together a small group. It was 18 of us that I wanted, after the whole summer of rage or summer of love, however you want to call it, in 2020, I said, we need to pray for this country because during the elections, it's going to explode. Well, my Facebook group mushroomed to about 750 in less than 10 days. And we started, I would write, my commitment to the group was I would write about the topic of the day, and then we would pray about it. Fast forward on J6, everything that happened, I got naturally paranoid. So I adopted a pseudonym, Praying Mantis, and I started publishing that on Substack. So I've been writing since 2021. And my publication, I write about a topic. I do research. I provide links so that the audience can do their further investigation. But it's a short article. I try to keep it about 600 words, 7 minutes, more or less, to read. I also provide a audio so you can hear me read the article, and then we pray, because there are some things that seem very overwhelming, but I do believe that with all of us praying, we can do war in the spiritual realm.
Yeah, Debbie, this is a spiritual battle. It is so evident that spirits, demonic spirits, are behind this. I've never seen people hate Trump so much because it's spiritual. You look at what's happening in our country. It's a spiritual battle. We have to fight it in the spirit. So David's going to be talking about some scriptures in the Bible, David, about this.
Just to bring the word into this, because in the Bible is full of if you look, looking for it, standards.
Absolutely.
For government and the people who lead.
Yes.
Now, whether the government's a king or a prince, or whether the government is an elected official like president, vice president, senator, congressman. And the thing to I constantly have to remind people that, you know, what God said in his word that's been recorded in the Old and New Testament still applies today, because God doesn't change.
Amen.
We assume, because we change, that God changes. And sometimes where the way scripture might be written, we love to read that into it. But the truth is, God's, one of his attributes is immutability. He does not change. Fortunately, we are changeable, because we need God's grace in our lives to become the people he wants us to be, as opposed to the people that we want to be.
Yes.
But anyway, and we're talking now about election integrity, and we're therefore, we have to speak about the integrity of elected leaders and the people that are that make the laws and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So just to throw the word of God in here, Exodus 18:21, where God is telling Moses, look for able men of all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. So the first governmental construct for the people of Israel after they exited from Egypt is God uses Moses to begin creating government. And this is the character of the people as leaders that God wants in that government.
Yes.
And
yes.
Again, folks, that doesn't change. The essentials God still expects and requires and will bless those governments that have those leaders. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. And frankly, again, it's very fundamental. God doesn't change. He's looking for leaders today. Let's make it our focus. This scripture, apply it to what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now, and whatever else I've read.
And how much do they lie against President Trump?
Yeah. There's lies flying all over the place.
All over the place.
Lie is the bitter currency of politics.
Yeah.
One of them anyway.
Yeah.
This isn't about President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
This is about us speaking the truth.
Yes.
In God, in Jesus. This is about us speaking the truth in Jesus. And President Trump is a vessel being used by God,
Lord.
The Lord.
One of many.
One of many.
One of them, hopefully an increasing number of people whom God is using who are still people.
And President Trump's cabinet is full of people who honor and worship the Lord.
Yeah.
Right. And one final verse from the Old Testament, Micah 6:8. This is God's basic expectation and demand for people in leadership. He is to, and really anyone who's in relationship with him, but it especially applies to leaders. He's told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God.
Amen.
That's God's expectation for everybody, but especially.
These are directives in the Word of God given to his children.
And let us also, because I just have to say this one more time, and then we'll get back to Debbie. But just to remind people, look, God calls human beings. That's me, that's you. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Trump isn't perfect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. None of his cabinet is perfect.
Yeah.
No elected official anywhere in the land is perfect.
Yep.
But God calls imperfect beings, and he calls us to approach him, to come close to him.
Yes.
And we have, there are people in government, they've expressed their faith on many occasions.
Mm-hmm.
I think Charlie Kirk's funeral was probably one of the most evident that the people we have right now, if you want to say in power or leadership, there's a great percentage of them that love the Lord and want to serve him and are doing that.
Yes.
And to remember that when you pray for government instead of complaining about them.
Yeah.
Remember that when you lift up this nation and the needs that we have today and the people in office, hold them. Yes, they'll hold themselves to a higher standard.
Yes.
Pray for them. Stop complaining. Stop moaning and groaning. Stop being like the Israelites in the desert, mumbling and complaining and all that. Just turn that around. Do a 180 and give God thanks for what he is doing.
We have to give God thanks because we live in the greatest country on earth.
We do.
By far. I had my prayer journal open this morning, and I asked the Lord, what is on your mind? You know, what should we pray about? And I clearly heard America. Then I saw a vision of the map of the United States.
Yep.
And then the Constitution right next to it. And it just brought me into tears because the way that even our country was founded was nothing short of a miracle.
Yeah.
We live in the greatest country on earth. People are trying to get in this country. They're not trying to leave.
Right.
Where Debbie knows this firsthand. Debbie, there's plenty of people who are trying to leave different countries.
Mm-hmm.
And we as Christians, it says in Jeremiah 27, to seek the peace of the city in which we live and pray for it. It's in the Bible to seek this peace of the city. We can translate that into the United States, of the country we live in. We need to seek the peace of the country we live in. If we as Christians do not get involved, Debbie, I want you to talk about this. What's at stake? President Trump can lose the majority. He can lose the House and the Senate, right?
You know what? This is why is really on my heart. When I am from the generation, of course, I wasn't living in Venezuela. I left as a teen. I left when I was 18 years old. My family actually left when I was 21. So I did not experience the whole social turn to socialism, but I was educated in a country that valued its constitution, valued its vote, and we understood our civic duties. But what happened? We, as a generation, did not get involved. And when we realized that we should get involved, it was too late. And that country was lost for a generation. In Venezuela, currently, as of a few months ago, if you were put into a group chat, unbeknownst to you, if you were in a dissident group chat, you were disappeared. There's a fellow that he didn't even give permission to be in this group chat, wow, but his name was in it, and he was gone 1 year. His family never saw him back. So that those are the perils of not getting involved, and this is a hard lesson that Venezuela has learned, mm-hmm, and we still have a good chance here in the United States to make this country truly what the founders and what God had provisions for America.
Amen.
But the 2020 election was, we were already falling down the cliff, I think. Mm-hmm. And that election, not the 2020, the 2024 election, because of that reversal, we have a chance.
Yes.
But that, always, if we lose the midterms, if we lose the midterms, we're going to hear impeachment attempt over and over, yep, again, as well as possibly war crimes tribunals. Mm. So it is imperative that we get involved and make sure that everybody, you know, that you make sure that two other people at the very least go and vote with you. Mm. You go out to vote and you bring two or three or 10 other people, and you make yourself responsible for those other people to go and vote, because the Republican Party, safe with very few examples, is not going to do the work. We have to do the work.
We have
That's
to do
I'm
the work. Yeah.
You know, Stephanie had, when we were on the phone yesterday about the program today, Stephanie had said something,
yeah,
about the time to fight is not when...
when things are going downhill.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right. But the time to fight is when it's quiet. Mm. Ahead of the battle. For the bills that come out, because once the bill comes out, then it's too late. So, Debbie, what is some of the things that the voters can do prior to the midterm election? And we discuss the midterm election so much over here,
yeah,
for this year. It's on my heart. It's on Ann's heart, and it's on David's heart, as well as Stephanie's. But what are some of those things? I mean, to contact their representatives, to actually stay informed,
yeah,
about what is going on.
Debbie, do you also have places that recommend that they could read about the news? We'd love to hear all your advice.
So I would recommend people, number one, the end game is the midterms. That's going to be in November of this year. But if you live in a red county, which you guys are mostly, you have to be looking at your primaries. Who is going, for example, Florida, who is going to be our next governor?
Yep.
Look at the candidates, right?
Yes.
Who is going to be the next representative? Who are your state representatives?
Yes.
Those primaries, that's in a red county, that's when you're electing your public official, because the primaries is what decides it. You know,
yep,
if it's red county, the Republicans are going to win. So you want the best Republicans.
Yep.
Prior to the primaries, and the primaries are somewhere in August. Prior to the primaries, right now we have municipal elections in March. Who's your mayor? I don't know if it's happening in your county, but here in Palm Beach, we have our mayor's race.
Yeah.
So those are things that, at the very least, know when they are and know who the candidates are, and then become a source of knowledge that can advise your neighbors,
yes,
and your friends. So that when they come, when it's time, they come to you, you can give them advice, and turn out the vote. Make sure you make it a habit to vote. Right now, if you like to vote by mail, and I'm not a big adherent of it, but it still exists, if you vote by mail, you need to renew your vote by mail ballot.
Yep.
If not, you're not going to get those notifications. Everything was reset last November,
mm-hmm,
and so if you want to receive your mail-in ballot, you need to request it.
Mm. Also, Stebby, I want to talk about Florida. Florida being a closed primary state. So if you are not declared a party, Republican or Democrat, you cannot vote in the primary. So you have to register to vote to change party affiliation by July 20th of this year. We set up a voter reg table, Debbie, at my church at Revive this past Sunday, and we're going to do that once a month until probably gets later in the year. As it gets closer, we'll make that more frequent. But we had at least one person go from independent to Republican. She had no idea. She could not vote on August 18th because she was not affiliated with a certain party. We need to tell Floridians that they need to have a party affiliation to vote in the primary. So
yes, and I would tell Florida that it's going to be a Republican governor.
Yep.
So if you want to know who that governor is, you need to change your party if you're an independent.
Yes. Mm. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. So go to
These are important.
Go ahead, Keith.
These are important things for to have awareness of, so that the state of Florida continues to stay as a godly state.
Yeah.
As a godly state.
Yeah.
You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, you know, we talked about this, I think it was last week's program, and it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment."
Amen.
And I think that's where there's a big, separation within the church.
There is.
There's a big separation within the church. And, you know, it's who are we looking at? Are we looking at Jesus Christ, or are we looking at the candidate?
Mm.
So if you're looking at Jesus, then you go to his word, and his word will guide your steps.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the candidate, you're going towards the flesh.
Yeah.
And whether you think you are or you're not, that's where you're headed.
Well, I want to also say, and this is very important, as Christians, we need to have discernment. So something that I pray is we need to have ears to hear and eyes to see, because what you're looking at, let's say you turn on mainstream media now and what's happening with ICE and whatnot, you may get on that bandwagon. We need to critically think and ask the Lord's heart on what's going on. We need to hear his voice. It is so important. We as Christians are on our knees every day seeking the Lord's heart, because it very many times will not look like what you see on TV or what's flowing. We need to go against the flow. We need to have that consecration process to become more holy and hear from him and what's going on.
Well, the insurrection up in Minnesota,
yeah,
and in Minneapolis was a distraction from the fraud that's going on.
Yeah.
So they set that up in order to distract the government from the fraud, from discovering the fraud,
yeah,
and the investigations that are going on. So that's a separate issue, but that's exactly the intention of why they,
yeah,
want ICE out of Minnesota.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of wormholes over there.
Yeah.
And they're going down the wormholes to find
God
out.
And praise God, he's exposing. To have,
the
you
Lord
know,
is exposing.
What Nick Shirley did with putting out that video and exposing that Somali fraud. I mean, praise God for that. Praise God for that, because there has to be more exposure.
Yeah, but pray for his protection and
absolutely
those that work with him.
Amen.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's other citizen journalists rising up too.
Yeah. I mean, I know that we have a couple of minutes left, but I would love Debbie, if she's comfortable, to pray. And also, I just wanted to give an opportunity for Debbie to talk about how people could read your Substack, Debbie, because you say you put something out that's short that people can read probably within 7 minutes. And then at the end, you join people. You want people to join you in prayer. Prayer is so key about keeping the foundations of this country the way the Lord created it.
Thank you for that. And, you know, it's interesting because I cover a lot of subjects. The one on Minnesota in particular, I just wrote about it a couple days ago, and it was more about the emergence of citizen journalists that,
amen,
are exposing and investigating and really going deep into what is going on in these cases. There's another young man, his name is Cam Higby, and he infiltrated the Signal groups to expose who were, and that's where the discovery of the vice governor of Minnesota was involved, and someone else that was in Tim Walz's campaign.
Wow.
So very encouraged that, you know, Gen Z, I call it Gen Zers, you know, the Zoomers, are getting involved and applying their skills. So, you know, there's always hope. And one of the things that I go back to is Jericho. You know, those walls, Joshua asked for like many, many soldiers. I don't know how many, and very few showed up. But that's all. You just have to show up.
Amen.
And God will do that.
Amen.
Debbie, I hate to cut in, but as a producer, that's why we don't have fingernails, is because time is so short. But we have about 4 minutes left, and then we have to go off the air.
Yeah.
Would you close us out in prayer?
Can you say really quickly, though, how people could read your Substack and then close us out in prayer?
You can find me on Substack under the pseudonym Praying Mantis. And a lot of subjects that I cover, they're not of me. They come through me. This is divine inspiration.
Because yes, the Lord, yes.
And so let me close you out with my last prayer on my Substack. And it had to do with all that's happening in this country. So let me pray with, let's pray.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, we declare your angel of protection over ICE agents, Homeland Security, and all law enforcement officers who serve law. Surround them with your angels, guard their steps, and shield them as they carry out their duties.
Yes.
Let truth rise and expose what hides in darkness. Holy Spirit, disrupt and dismantle every plan rooted in malice, deception, and disorder.
Mm.
Confound what is intended. Pierce hearts with conviction and restore clarity where confusion reigns.
Amen.
Tear away every veil that blinds eyes and dulls conscience. May our nation choose order over chaos, truth over deception, and righteousness over fear. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I would like to offer Debbie a prayer for you and your ministry, if I may. Just Father God, I thank you for Debbie. She's given you her life.
Yes.
You gave her life, and she's giving it back to you to serve you, Lord. And you sent her into some very interesting places, and there's a battleground in which she has to walk and pray and fight. And we pray, Lord, that all those that she is aligned with who serve you as well would form a wonderful, blessed, and advancing community, advancing on the enemy and the places where he has strongholds, that Debbie and those who work with her and those who share that vision and that calling would be able to, in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, attack those strongholds and break them down. And we pray, Father, that as Debbie does what she does so well in the power of the Spirit, that others will see that what she's doing and will be inspired. And Lord, that they will be inspired because you are behind what she's doing.
Amen.
That your power is working through her, and that she, Father, is a person of great integrity and great humility. And she's not going around saying, look what I'm doing, but rather she is looking, pointing to you, Father God, in everything that she does. Thank you, Lord. So continue to give her the grace that she needs for everything you call her to do every day. Give her the wisdom that she needs, as Solomon prayed for wisdom, Lord, so too. I know Debbie does, and we join her in that the wisdom you give her will enable her to advance the mission that you've put her onto. And we pray also, Lord, that there will be those out there that she will inspire. And Lord, may they not just say yes to you and say, give me what you've given her that I may serve you in that way, but may those also increase the numbers of people that have gathering around her for support, for encouragement, to share in worship and praise, and to provide a strong bulwark of grace and truth.
Amen.
Into the realm that you send her, and really all of us who believe every day. Thank you, Lord. This prayer offered in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Debbie, thank you for joining
us
so much.
Debbie, thank you so much for being a general in the army of God and for what you're doing and taking the hour. And I'm so glad that the Lord had us meet each other.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So praise God.
Praise God.
Thank you for your beautiful prayer.
And we'll have you back on the air with us.
Needed.
She said it was needed. God bless you, Debbie.
God bless.
Take care.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at WCNO at WCNO.com. In the subject line, write David at A Biblical Response. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.